Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 1 Chronicles chapter 8. We'll be hearing about Saul the Benjamite and his line of his genealogy. So we see the tribe of Benjamin unpacked here. And remember that Saul, the first king of Israel, was actually from the tribe of Benjamin. So naturally, it comes back down to his line in this chapter. But this predicates a shift of focus from the king of Israel being Saul to David, the true king who God picked before Saul. If you remember, the Israelites chose Saul, but God chose David. It's also important to remember that of all the tribes, Levi, Judah, and Benjamin alone survived the deportation to Babylon. That's because they were from the southern kingdom. Remember when the kingdom split into north and south? Well, the northern kingdoms were taken away and intermarried with the Assyrians. You want to hear a joke? What do you get when you cross a Hebrew with an Assyrian? A Samaritan. Get it? Okay, it's not funny. It's actually not a joke, but that's how you make a Samaritan. You cross them with the peoples from the northern kingdoms, those nine tribes, with the Assyrians, and that's what a Samaritan was. If you remember, Saul was chosen king by the people. He was strong, he was tall, and he was good looking. So naturally, the people thought this guy might make a good ruler. But they had only looked to the outside, whereas God, when David was chosen, looked at the heart. So it looked like the Messiah would come through Saul's reign. If you remember, the book of 1 Chronicles is all about coming back from deportation to Babylon and checking that the line of the Messiah was intact. Therefore, all these genealogies are going to end with a look at Saul. But because Saul was out for himself and not out for God's glory, God ripped the kingdom from him and gave it to David, who was from the tribe of Judah. So rather than the kingdom being given to a Messiah from the tribe of Benjamin, Jesus was the lion of the tribe of Judah. He gave the kingdom instead to David, a man after his own heart, which meant that David sought God first rather than like Saul, who sought him as last resort. Now, this is going to artfully set us up for the introduction of King David, just as it does in the book of Samuel. It is actually masterfully done. Trace what 1 Chronicles has done so far. Talk about all the tribes. Trace the genealogy showing where certain tribes died off. Then show where three were brought back from captivity. Then kick into the story of the greatest king that ever lived in Israel, David. He becomes a type or prototype of the Messiah. In fact, one of the things you'll notice in Chronicles' account of David is that it doesn't show any of his naughty bits. That's right, it portrays David's good deeds. And you know, that's a bit like us, isn't it? Once we've been covered by the blood of Christ, all of our bad deeds, our sins, are wiped out forever, like they've never even taken place. In heaven, only our greatest deeds, done for the glory of Jesus, will stand the test of time in eternity. Now, verse 12 of this chapter kicks into the westward expansion of Ono and Lod. These two descendants of Saul built these city strongholds to take more land. The Benjamites achieved what the Danites could not. They were animals, vicious wolves that tear their prey, ravenous, hungry, and they lived up to the prophecy that Jacob made about Benjamin, that he was a ravenous wolf tearing his prey. They were a warrior tribe. We even get in verse 39 when it says, the sons of Ulam, verse 40, were brave warriors who could handle the bow. They had many sons and grandsons, 150 in all. And by the way, Paul was a member of the tribe of Benjamin, he tells us in Galatians, and nobody expanded the kingdom of God quite like Paul. If his ancestors extended the physical kingdom of God by expanding the borders of Israel through warfare, nobody did it like the Apostle Paul, who expanded the borders of the New Testament kingdom of God just as ravenously, like a ravenous wolf who tore his prey. the Apostle Paul tears all throughout the Mediterranean map at the back of your Bible to deliver the gospel to every single city and Roman province that extolled Jesus as Lord. I love the fact that Paul's central message was that Jesus was the Messiah, the King, the Lord. Now imagine you're Caesar for just a minute. You've been bent on conquering the Western world. In fact, so much so that you've set up provinces, which, by the way, were centers of rule, where you extolled yourself as the God Emperor. And the saying inscribed on every piece of money was, Caesar is Lord. Imagine the Apostle Paul rolling in. Nuh-uh. Guess who's Lord? Jesus is Lord. I've read the book of Daniel, says Paul, and I see that Caesar's kingdom has an end, whereas Jesus' kingdom, the Messiah, has no end. And we'll get into that a few chapters from now in the book of 1 Chronicles. But if Caesar gets mad at Paul, and all the Christians, by the way, for saying that Jesus is Lord, which is a threat, by the way, to the Roman Empire. That's why they had the Christians take the pinch of incense, stand at an altar, and all they had to do was say, Jesus is Lord. You see, when Paul was killed, he was killed as a political, not religious, prisoner. He was seen to be usurping authority from the emperor god Nero. But you know, Paul could have said this. On answer to the charge that he said that Jesus is Lord, Paul could have simply pointed and say, he started it. He said it first. I was just setting the record straight. Well, reader, what about you? What about the borders of the kingdom of God in your area? If the Benjamites expanded the borders in their kingdom and built city strongholds, what about you? Have you gone into all the areas of influence, your job, your school, even your neighborhood? Is it evident that God is setting up shop there, that he's interested in taking new ground, taking new captives, and setting captives free? That's my job and your job, to lift up the name and fame of Jesus. I love the fact that Saul's ancestors were said to be brave warriors who could handle the bow. For us, it would be nice if we get to heaven, and they say about us that we were brave warriors who could handle the sword, particularly the word of God. And by the way, that's why you're here. Someone who is versed in both the Old Testament and New Testament, Jesus said, would be like a scribe coming out of his treasure house presenting treasures both old and new. I hope that this treasure would be more like a sword, kind of like on The Lord of the Rings. Bilbo gets a sword named Sting, and he hands it down to Frodo. And in fact, these swords become the thing of legend that makes the enemy fear. And by the way, nothing scares Satan more than the fact that a believer is versed in the scriptures and knows how to use it. Well, thanks for joining us today on Through the Word. I've been your host, Peyton Jones, and we've been in 1 Chronicles chapter 8. We'll see you tomorrow on Through the Word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.